My parents and grandparents would sometimes start a story like this. Are you ready? Now, back when I was a child. You ever heard that before? And they would tell grand stories like how they walked 5 miles to school, uphill both ways, with no shoes, in the snow. Y'all ever heard that story? Or a variation of it? Now, some of us, when they would say, now back when I was a child, we'd say, oh boy, here we go again. And most of the time, we didn't like to hear those words. But you know what I've learned through the years? That younger generations can learn a lot if we would just pay attention and listen. I wish I had listened more to my daddy. I didn't realize that God would take him so soon. It was 30 years ago. I was only 26 years old. Man, I wish I had more time with him. I wish I had taken more time with my grandparents. We can learn a lot from those who have gone before us. Now, thank God if you've had a godly heritage. Hey, we should not scoff at that godly heritage or abandon it for the ways of the world. Man, stay close to Jesus. Fall in love with him. Glorify him with your life. And that's the way God wants his truth and his mercy to be preserved. It's supposed to be invested or passed on from generation to generation. And we're going to talk about that today. Solomon learned much from his mother Bathsheba. Most times she's viewed in a bad light. David the king stayed home from war. You know the story. David saw her bathing on a rooftop. David then lusted after her and he said, I gotta have her. So he sent the servants to her home. Really, she had no choice because when the king summoned you, you were gonna go. And he had an illicit relationship with her because she was already married to Uriah. She became pregnant. David tried to hide his sin. He had Uriah murdered and he married Bathsheba. Looked like he had hidden it, but a few weeks ago, you know the story. I told you all about it. God revealed his sin through the prophet Nathan. Well, David, praise God, repented of his sin. But the baby that was conceived in sin died. In grace, God allowed David and Bathsheba to have other sons. One was Solomon. Look at Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 3. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. In other words, listen when your father corrects you. And attend to no understanding. Pay attention. Learn good judgment. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine or good guidance. Forsake ye not my law. Don't turn away from my instruction. Look at verse 3. For I was my father's son. Solomon is saying, I was David's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Here's how Solomon describes the relationship with his mother. Let's look, number one, at the love of his mother. That phrase, only beloved. I believe Solomon would say something like this. I remember growing up in the house of a king, in the home of a king. I remember my mother and how during those tender years, those formative years, she made me feel as if I was an only child. That's what that phrase means, beloved, only beloved. Now, an only child can get 100% of his mother's love and affection. How many of you are only children? You're the only child. Ooh, boy, y'all are blessed and lucky, aren't you? Spoiled, aren't you, Gary? You spoiled, brother. All right. But here's the thing about it. Solomon wasn't an only child. But yet, in his eyes, his mother treated him that way. He had three brothers. Guess who's one of them was named Nathan? Wow. Isn't it amazing that David and Bathsheba named one of their sons after the prophet who came and confronted David about his sin? That tells me they had respect for authority. They had a respect for God's man, the prophet. So Solomon says, in other words, my mom made me feel so special, like I was an only child. Now, when you think of all that Bathsheba had gone through, she could have been bitter and angry toward God. Remember, she lost that first child. She could have never gotten over the death of that little one. She could have allowed those disappointments and those discouraging events from her past control her future. But I don't think she was bitter. I believe the key is found in Solomon's names. Did you know Solomon actually had three names? First of all, his official family name was Solomon. It means peaceable. Then this baby, as you think about Solomon, he was a token of peace that David and Bathsheba had gained with God through repentance. So his name means peaceable. They had gained repentance with Christ, and they had gotten or with God, and they'd also gotten right with each other through the process. He also had a name of blessing given by the prophet Nathan, and that was Jedidiah. Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. So we have Solomon, peaceable, Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Man, what a wonderful statement for the man of God to make. And then his mother also had a nickname for him. In Proverbs 31, Solomon says his mother called him Lemuel. And that his name means one who belongs to God. Now, that is an expression of acceptance of God's decision to take her firstborn child from her and transport that little child's soul to heaven. Every parent needs to understand this. Our children are given to us by God. Do y'all realize that? But they still belong to Him. They're just under our care. But you put these meanings together, peaceable, beloved of the Lord, one who belongs to God. What a wonderful description of what a child is to be to a family. She recognized her responsibility as a mother. She took it very seriously. She invested herself unselfishly into Solomon. And Solomon is paying tribute to his parents here in verse 3, just like many of us should pay tribute to our parents. Not only do we see the love of a mother, but number two, we see the teachings of his mother. Over in Proverbs 31:1, where Maddie was reading from earlier, says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy or the message that his mother taught him. That word prophecy is a Bible expression for a bold declaration of truth, a bold message of truth. In the Old Testament, the prophets would declare God's messages to Israel. But here, this is not a prophet prophesying. This is a mother who was teaching, who was committed to rearing her children. And I bet Solomon could say, boy, mama was kind. She was sweet. She was good. She was beautiful. But my mama could preach every bit as good as that old prophet Nathan. How many had a mama like that? Woo. That word Solomon used for taught is a correction word. It gives the idea of chastening, chastising someone so that their behavior will change. Boy, I had a mom and dad that practiced that. They used a switch. That was the sting of instruction. They used a paddle. That was the board of education. They used a belt. Those were the stripes of wisdom. I didn't turn out so bad, did I? And, you know, I just see that kind of gives the term. We have to correct our children, and we don't have to abuse them. But a lot of times it takes, something to get their attention. Change their behavior. That's the idea here. And she's not a teacher up in front of the classroom. This is just her one-on-one training her children. She had mercy, but she also had truth. She had the perfect balance. David had other sons besides Solomon. Several of them wanted to be king. I just want to give you an example of how it balanced out in her life. David had named Solomon as his heir to the throne. Shake your head if you're with me. Ready? Who's going to be the next king after David? It was Solomon, right? But one of his sons, Adonijah, tried to grab the throne for himself. Bathsheba knew if he became the king, the first thing he'd want to do was kill Solomon. So why was Adonijah so rebellious? It's because he did not receive both mercy and truth. In 1 Kings, turn over there if you would, chapter 1, look in verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" He was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. In other words, he never disciplined him. He never asked Adonijah, "Hey, why are you doing that?" David never held him accountable. He showed all mercy and no truth. There was not a balance. He was unwilling to displease him in any way. That's the way the Bible says. So in other words, whatever Adonijah wanted, David gave in. Never disciplined him. So I tell you, boy, a son's going to take full advantage of that. David never rebuked him. When Adonijah did wrong, David looked the other way. He was unbalanced as a father in this area. And boy, that's a recipe for rebellion. Now with Absalom, he got all truth. Absalom killed Amnon. Remember Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar? Absalom killed him. Went into hiding for years. And then when he was finally allowed to return to Jerusalem, David would not even meet with him. Didn't want to hear anything. Didn't want to reconcile. And so for one son, Adonijah, he gave all mercy. Let him by with everything, right? But with another son, Absalom, it was all truth. Wouldn't even speak to him. Now Bathsheba has a wonderful influence on David in this regard. Even though David failed miserably with his earlier children, Bathsheba helped David see the importance of adding truth to his mercy. Look at Proverbs 4:4, back in Proverbs. It says, "He taught me also," Solomon saying, "my father taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." In other words, take my words to heart. "Keep my commandments, follow my commands, and live." David, I think Solomon saw David's love for the Lord, his trust in the Lord, his desire to build a temple in Jerusalem, his skill in war. He taught him to understand the scriptures. Bathsheba, her grateful thanks to God for his grace. He saw all that. So they both contributed to Solomon's training. He learned so much from both of them, David and Bathsheba. Let me just tell you this. The David that raised Solomon was not the same one that raised Adonijah and Absalom. He took personal interest in Solomon. He was committing to raising this child for God. And the power of influence that a wife can have on her husband is tremendous. When God made Adam, he made him needing somebody else. That somebody else was Eve. Wives, you are that somebody else for your husband. God has put you all together. You're one flesh. You can have an influence on your husband to correct his imbalances. Bathsheba came into David's life. She simply displayed mercy and truth in the home. And it helped David tremendously. The love of his mother, the teachings of his mother. I've got one more example, number 3. The display of mercy and truth by Bathsheba. Back to 1 Kings. Let me see if I can find it. 1 Kings 1. David had become very feeble. His advisors found Abishag and brought her to David. She moved in to take care of the king, and the queen moved out. Bathsheba moved out. This had to be difficult for Bathsheba to endure. Right here, Bathsheba comes to David and has to confront this young woman. Look at verse 15. "And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber. And the king was very old. And Abishag, the Shunammite, ministered unto the king, took care of him. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance, or showed respect unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? What can I do for you, Bathsheba? Verse 17, and she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. She's reminding David, you made a vow before the Lord. You said to me, Solomon's going to be the next king. So she comes in this awkward situation where this other woman is taking care of him at this time. She showed mercy. She bowed in respect to David. She could have focused on her hurt, but she did not do that. She had an important task that day to relay truth to the king. She remained focused on that. Look at verse 18. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth. Man, he's made himself king. And now, my lord, the king, thou knowest it not. Hey, your son Adonijah has just proclaimed himself king, but you told me that Solomon's going to be the next king. Look at verse 30 and 31. It says, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me. He shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my Lord King David live forever. You know, the next time you're tempted to get upset with something that's happening in your life, we need to instead stop. Realize that God may be putting you in a situation where you could have a profound influence for good. She showed mercy by what she didn't say and about what she didn't do. David responded to her request, made arrangements to ensure that Solomon would become king. Mercy and truth were enough. I tell you what I've learned from this passage and this story. A mother filled with mercy and truth has the potential to, number one, influence her husband, help correct his imbalances. If he's got too much mercy and no truth, or if he's got too much truth and no mercy, boy, that wife, that mother can come in and help with that. But then number two, a mother filled with mercy and truth also has a potential to influence her children, help them maximize their potential. Solomon's potential would have never been realized without if he hadn't had a godly mother. She handled herself wisely, discreetly. She was full of mercy and truth. One more statement. Never underestimate a woman who is full of mercy and truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want to thank God for my godly heritage. I wonder right now in the quietness of this moment, you would thank God for that. And if you did not have a godly heritage growing up, praise God, you can have one in your own life right now, in your own family. By God's grace, He'll help you. If you're a parent here today, a grandparent, hey, we must encourage each of our children, our teens, our young adults, don't abandon your godly foundation, your godly heritage for the ways of this world. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil get you away from a dynamic personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Can we encourage our children today to do that, to follow God with all their heart, fall in love with Jesus every day? Let's do that. Can we pray for our families right now, especially our mothers? Lord Jesus, thank you for this time we've had in your word. Thank you that we could see in Bathsheba's life a good balance of mercy and truth. And Lord, may we meditate on this passage and see how she lived her life. She could have given up. She could have been bitter. But Lord, you used her in a great way. She was a great influence upon her children. And Lord, I pray for every mother here that they would determine to be that virtuous woman, to train their children in the ways of the Lord, and that you would bless our families here, Father, in a great, great way. Thank you for this illustration and this story from Scripture. May we apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.